It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Everyone, and welcome to Temporary Admission. This week, at popular request, we're circling back to NFTs. We're going to be chatting with Scottish artist David Batchelor, who just launched his first NFT, an ex-Tate curator and now head of programming at Verse, and essentially the woman tasked with bringing the best digital artworks to the first platform, Layla. So welcome, guys. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, James.
No problem. Well, look, David, it probably makes more sense in this instance to start with you, and then we'll move on to Verse and Layla, what you're working on with David at the moment. But David, why don't you kick us off and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your practice?
Well, I mean, I when people ask me like what my work's like, I say, well, it's about colour. And that is actually the simplest and most direct way of describing it. The vivid colours of the urban environment in particular. And I will use any medium I can as a way of supporting and presenting these vivid colors, be it sculpture, painting, installation, photography, drawing, animation, and so forth. And at the moment, I'm working on a new group of works on paper. And that's actually partly because I've just done a big exhibition at a museum in Warwickshire called Compton Verney. And it's a kind of retrospective of literally 40 years of my work. And when you look, you know, and I spend a lot of time, there's a lot of planning and administration involved in getting, you know, a show like that together. There are about 200 works in the show. So I've been in the studio a lot, but I've not actually been making much work because of this planning. Everyone's got something to say about colour. That's part of the pleasure of it, is that it's not a specialist subject in a way. You know, every kid you meet, everyone experiences colour, and everyone's got something to say about it.
I think that's what actually, you know, drew me into your artwork in the first place, because anyone that knows me will know I'm particularly drawn to any artwork with lots of colour. So you definitely have me hooked at that point. But David, I'm interested to hear a little bit more about, you know, why you've decided to dip your toe into the realm of NFTs now, because everyone's heard of Beeple, and, you know, he launched his hugely popular NFT earlier last year, but you're maybe one of the bigger named, more traditional artists that has now decided to dip their name or dip their toe, I should say, into the NFT realm. Why is that?
I've been working away for years, and you know, and occasionally, you know, you get people come to the studio with an invitation to do something a bit different and a bit new, and you think, well, I don't know about that. I don't know much about it, but I'll give it a go. And to be honest, you know, Layla, you know, approached me with the prospect of doing an NFT with Verse, and I, you know, I can be absolutely honest and say I know very little about NFTs, but I'm always open to new ways of looking at things and new ways of doing things. So I obviously implicitly trust Layla, so I was happy to go along with the project.
And you've known Layla for a while, right?
Yes, I mean, Layla approached me, it must have been now 6 or 7 years ago, with the proposition of doing an exhibition in Tehran. This was just before Trump was elected, so while relations between the West and Iran were rather better, to work with a gallery there and do an exhibition, and also to do a catalogue and actually to have one of my books translated into Farsi. Now, I mean, what was rather sweet was that Layla kind of came to the studio and said, I don't know if I can really persuade you to do this, but we'd really like to. And I thought, Tehran, sure, why not? I mean, and it was a fantastic experience. I loved working with the Aban Bar Gallery and the people I met there. And of course, I loved, you know, visiting the city, you know, looking at it, meeting artists and critics and looking at the architecture and the historic work. I mean, it was one of the really great experiences for me. So basically, I felt, you know, Layla has a very high credit rating in my world.
Oh, that's good to hear, David. That's good to hear. When David came to Tehran, actually just after he left, they changed all the immigration laws, didn't they, with America? So the then got stuck having to apply for visas going to America because you've been to Iran.
Literally the day after I arrived, the first Trump travel ban kicked in.
I felt so bad.
Well, I was a lot more interested in traveling to Tehran than I was to America at the time. It was a truly, you know, great experience. And and that's, we've always kept in touch ever since.
I think what I found interesting though, or would like to know a little bit more about, I guess, is why now? Because NFTs have, you know, been growing in importance for a while now, but it doesn't necessarily always feel like the art world has either been ready for them or accepted them, or, you know, Verse in itself, as we said, is a relatively new platform. So what kind of convinced you to come on board and actually launch your first NFT through Verse?
Well, it was, I mean, if it had been someone else other than someone I knew and trusted, then I might have been more wary. Because, you know, you often get slightly odd, you know, invitations that you often have to turn down. But it really was because I trust Layla, and, you know, obviously I've heard about NFTs and I was curious, and I thought, well, this is a way of, you know, of addressing my curiosity. I mean, incidentally, at almost exactly the same time, I was invited to make a tapestry through a guy in Latin America, in Mexico. And, you know, making a tapestry and making an NFT are kind of opposites. The tapestry takes 6 months to make. It's millimeter of the work that it's made from, you know, it's rendered into hand dyed wool and hand stitched. I can't think of anything that is less like doing the Verse project than doing a tapestry. But, you know, and I had no idea how the tapestry would turn out either. It was, you know, it was a bit of a shot in the dark. And you know, and I'm very happy to go along for the ride.
Well, that's a good job considering you've got tapestries and NFTs. Like you say, they're very different. But Layla, from your point of view, I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are on this, because obviously you've been tasked with bringing in kind of top tier artists and digital artworks, you know, onto the Verse platform. So you must, in some respects, agree that the art world is ready for NFTs now and is ready to start taking them seriously, you know, maybe more so than they have beyond the more gimmicky NFTs that we've had in the past. Would you say the more traditional art world is ready for NFTs now?
I would love to hear from David, actually. But I'm gonna start off saying that, yes, I think you're right. I think people are still really nervous. And I think from place to place, it varies as well. So I think London is particularly more nervous than maybe New York or LA. I don't know. I just feel like their reaction I get here is very defensive towards some artists. So you get artists like David who are just, I think you said it, you're just a curious person. You're not afraid to take a leap and kind of to see where it takes you. Whereas I think a lot of artists are so concerned about how they're seen. And it's actually interesting. I find that also there isn't a whole lot of knowledge around them. So And I was, you know, I was the same way when I entered Verse. I really didn't know a whole lot about NFTs. I was just so curious about the NFT world that I entered Verse that way. It came out of curiosity rather than sort of knowledge. But I think there's also not a lot of knowledge around it. So that also makes it difficult for people to have faith in it. And, you know, having said that, there's also so much bad, you know, there are a lot of things that are wrong with the NFT realm. I mean, a lot of the conversations are about, you know, the money value of it and people trading artworks. And, you know, so that is something that makes the art world really nervous, because when do you talk about the art, you're just talking about the monetary value. So, so I think there are a lot of reasons why people are nervous around them. And also, there are a lot of NFT artists that, you know, have visually and aesthetically such a different language to what we're used to in the art world. So that's just jarring. The contrast is just really hard for people to understand. Having said that, I think things are overlapping. And in Art Basel, you know, I saw some galleries displaying NFTs. There was a huge display that Tezos had with NFTs. It's still not quite there yet, but definitely it's seeping into the art world slowly, for sure.
I mean, personally, I've not looked at that many NFTs. There's certainly a few I've seen, and I thought, yeah, that's really nothing much to do with, you know, what my work's about. And you know, I think a lot of, you know, if you like, more traditional artists, which I'd include myself, you really, most artists work with a medium, with materials and stuff, and it's very physical, and that certainly applies to my work. And so there's always a question, well, how can I, what would it mean to translate a work which is essentially a sort of one-to-one relationship with a viewer into a digital format which doesn't have that relationship? And I think, you know, a lot of artists, a lot of painters perhaps, you know, and sculptors wouldn't immediately have a sense of how you could convert the work. I mean, I tend to work in a whole variety of mediums, you know, painting and sculpture and drawing and installation and photography and so forth. And I had done, I've been working on a few animations. And for me, it was somewhat easier to imagine how a bit of my work might translate into this medium. But again, that's me thinking of NFTs as a medium rather than as a monetary mechanism. And, you know, I understand medium much better than I understand money.
I think, though, it feels like we've had a lot of maybe bad quality NFTs, you know, in the past. And I think what's changing now is maybe more traditional, if I can use that term, artists are kind of considering NFTs as a viable option and really spending time curating good quality NFTs. Do you think that's kind of having a role to play as well?
Absolutely. I think it's really interesting, David, when you spoke about how you approach the making of your work and how you think about the viewer. And I think, James, in relation to your question of there is a lot of bad NFT out there, is, I think, the way I see it is because a lot of the artists that are creating NFTs don't really think about the viewer that much, because it's a very fast moving world, and there is no risk involved. You know, you just upload your work, it's out there, and either somebody likes it or they don't like it. It's like you've got nothing to lose, whereas traditional artists really take their time thinking about the viewer, thinking about where it's placed, how it's seen, from which angle, how you approach it, how the light is. I mean, so many different elements, and it's a much slower and much more thought through process then I would say a lot of the NFT artists. I do think things are changing in the realm, but I think that's how it sort of started. That's why there was such an explosion of production. I mean, anybody made an NFT. And of course, a lot of it was just made without any thought. And you can see that in the work.
I think your point about the slowness, Leila, is exactly right. That, you know, if say I'm making a sculpture, it would take me a time to develop the body of work, but you know, it would take, you know, a few, you know, certainly days, possibly weeks to make, and then, you know, then you'd have a body of work to go to an exhibition, so you'd have a number of them. You know, the whole process of you know, beginning to make something in the studio to exhibiting it in a gallery, say, can take a year or two. You wouldn't expect it to happen more quickly than that.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I think it's interesting as well how it feels that more artists are maybe seeing NFTs now as an extension of whatever practice they were currently pursuing, whether that be sculpture like yourself or, you know, more traditional paintings on canvas, etc. But many maybe traditional artists are now considering NFTs, I think, or at least that it's on their radar.
I mean, I remember for a long time, artists wouldn't touch digital photography. It was analog photography was seen as really the only proper form of the photograph. Film. So, you know, there's forms of resistance always, I think, in and around art. And, you know, on the other hand, you've always got artists who want to try out these new things. For me, when Leila spoke to me, I was kind of racking my brains to think, well, what could I do that would be unique to this medium, that would relate to my work, but wouldn't just be a sort of conversion of a work into another, you know, format. And I happen to have been playing around with, I quite often have a photographer into the studio to photograph bodies of work. And I happened to have had a photographer in who was photographing a group of about 15 sculptures. And it happened they were all, we positioned them against the wall in exactly the same position. So when we scrolled through the images of, you know, like half a second each, these various sculptures seemed to become a kind of animation, a kind of dance of sculptures. And I'd always really liked it, and I just kept it without a sense of how I could use it. So it was just there in the, you know, on the back burner, like there's always a lot of stuff on the back burner when, you know, when you've got a number of things going on in the studio. And, you know, and I was speaking with later, just literally when we were having the conversation, I thought, well, actually, maybe this thing, which has no other form and nowhere else to go, maybe that would work. And I suggested to Leila, she had a look at this little animation, and we decided it might be a goer.
It is very cool actually to have a look at. I think it's very bright and colourful, which is definitely right up my street. But do you think, David, that NFTs have the potential to maybe change the traditional gallery artist relationship? Or maybe for our listeners who are artists, do you think that NFTs are something they should be considering as well?
The relationships that are involved with an NFT, and certainly in working with Verse, are somewhat different to with a gallery now, and they seem to work in favour of the artist, which is to say that the artist gets a bigger percentage of the income from the work than you would in a normal gallery. So that, you know, I mean, basically, you know, every artist needs to support their work by getting income. You know, so anything that, you know, that enables you to generate income, that enables you to make your work, is going to be welcomed by most artists. I mean, not anything. You know, there are obviously kind of limits. But, you know, I mean, a normal gallery, the relationship is that, you know, you sell the work through a gallery, the gallery takes 50%. That's normal. And there should be some, in the event of resale, there should be some droit de suite, as it's called. But that very rarely happens. Now, you know, and most artists, you know, accept that relationship, and that's business as usual. You know, the NFT, the artist gets a greater percentage, and then there is a kind of guaranteed resale condition because, as I understand it, of the nature of the blockchain, means you can always track the movement of the work, so to speak. So, you know, in those respects, it's advantageous to the artist.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds like there's a lot of benefits to artists going into or at least exploring NFTs. Leila, from your side, do you think there are any challenges, or what kind of should we be looking out for? Because from my point of view, I know I really struggle with still the fact that I can't just put them on my wall, and that's kind of not really what I'm used to or not what I expect. And I'm struggling to see kind of that benefit.
Yeah, I think the challenges are still that people are really unfamiliar on what to do with the medium. You know, there and the medium in itself can be various things. I mean, some artists that create NFTs use the blockchain, and then that's very clear that that's, you know, part of the medium. Other artists use it in, you know, in different ways. And then what happens is then how do you display these works? Where do they sit? So I think for the art world, it's still hard to understand where to place them. I think because so much of the art world is around exhibition and the physicality of the work and the experience, and NFTs are just not necessarily about that. They're either very, very conceptual, or they're very much about the idea of collecting. So I think that's where the difficulty lies. It just hasn't found its place yet. But I do think in the future, with digital works especially, it's going to be a no-brainer that they're going to have to be on the blockchain. That's something that's right now not present. And I think that will just become part of the norm in the future.
And that's so the artist can track kind of resale and that side of things. But I guess we haven't actually spoken about views, and we probably should touch on that in a little bit more detail, because it certainly sounds like a good place for, you know, maybe first timers to buy really top quality NFTs, but also for people to experience buying NFTs in a very different way. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so Verse is a platform that's trying to bridge the gap between the NFT realm and the art world. And we try to work with curators, and we ask them to put on exhibitions on our platform online. And the idea is really, it's a little bit different to the rest of the space, because we're talking about, you know, artists putting their work on, you know, directly onto sites. And here we are saying, no, we want to work with curators. And I think the reason is because we feel like the space had this, you know, incredibly productive place where there has been so much artwork, but there's been no curation within the space, within the NFT realm. And we're really trying to put together exhibitions that have concepts, that have been researched, and that are brought forward by people in the industry that we respect. And they can either be from the art world or they can be from the NFT realm. So our curators are not necessarily curators as a profession, but they can be writers, they're thinkers, they're collectors, they're all sorts of different people. But the idea is we want them to bring forward artists that matter to them, that they find interesting, that have moved them in one way or the other. And so it's very much a platform that's about putting together exhibitions rather than just artists uploading their own work. We work mostly with various people, so it's quite collaborative in that sense.
Yeah, I know that when I was speaking with Jamie, who's one of the co-founders of Verse, when he was thinking about setting up, it was very much, you know, super important to make sure you're going to get the right people involved and people like yourselves, Layla, but also making sure that the artists that you got on board on the first instance were those real kind of top artists and the big names that would really require some thought to actually get right. And that was, you know, super important for Jamie in the first instance, and rushing it was absolutely not a possibility. And I think that can really show in what has been produced, because Verse has answered a lot of the, or solved a lot of the problems that did face the NFT community when buying art. But it's also, I think, allowed people to, like you say, build a little community around understanding the artists that are producing the NFTs and learning more about them as well. And I think that was really lacking.
Exactly. And it goes back to, you know, when we spoke earlier about David taking his time. I mean, that's exactly what we want to do. We really want to take our time to understand which one of these artists that are being active within the NFT realm, you know, which one of these are making works that we find genuinely interesting? Can we provide more context about them? Because actually, one of the other difficulties is that with it on, you know, these NFT, most NFT platforms do not have enough contextual information about the artists. You don't learn enough about their practice, whereas we are really trying to create as much sort of text and interviews and videos as much as we can about them, so that people really can get an understanding of their work. And it seems so necessary, because the only place where you see them is online. And yeah, we really try to provide as much information as possible. Also, the thing about Verse, which I personally really like, because it's something that sort of alienated me prior to NFT sites, was that, you know, you can purchase or acquire NFTs with, you know, with your credit card, or, you know, you don't need to have any crypto knowledge. And for me, that was a huge thing, because I don't understand anything about cryptocurrency. I don't have a MetaMask wallet. I have no idea how to operate them. So it's very, you know, it's a lot more like purchasing an edition, or, you know, it feels like an art, it feels just like another art website. And I, like a gallery website, and it's very easy to navigate in that sense for the viewer as well.
That was it. I remember when you announced the funding round that you've recently closed. I think you raised £2.3 million, if I'm not correct. But in one of the press releases, I remember reading it was saying that Augustinas, who's the other co-founder, was so pleased because even his mum would now be able to buy an NFT. And I think that was actually, or that resonated so much, because I've got so stuck in the past trying to even figure out how to buy an NFT. I think I've got, you know, money stuck in a MetaMask somewhere, and it all went wrong and I just gave up in the end.
Yeah, it's too easy, I have to say.
And so you launched, I mean, it wasn't that long ago now that you launched, but it almost feels that you've had maybe 4 or 5 exhibitions, is it now? Are you able to tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, so we've just had, I think it's our 4th exhibition right now. So we had a launching exhibition where we invited a number of curators and artists. So very much as I was saying, we're all about, we kind of want to see ourselves a little bit like a curatorial laboratory for NFTs, because I think we're all still figuring out how we can best present them. And we, you know, I feel like we're still learning all of them. So the idea was to invite 12 curators for the launching exhibition. And of the 12 curators, each one would suggest one artwork that has significance to them. And those people varied from, as I said, artists like David Schrickley to curators like a professor of curating at Goldsmith, Andrew Renton, to, you know, Tyler Hobbs, who's, you know, one of the most well-respected and NFT artists out there, gen artists out there. So we had really a big range of individuals that brought forward the launching exhibition. So I guess the selection of the work was quite diverse because of that, but it was also really wonderful because we, you know, we sort of had this great mix of very different kind of artworks, very different kind of NFTs, some from the art world like David, who was his first NFT, to then artists who, you know, have a huge following in the realm. And I guess that's something that we are going to continue to do. We really want to work with both. We want to work with artists who, you know, perhaps have never made an NFT before and are now venturing into this world. But we also do want to work with artists who we think are creating, you know, interesting gen art, and those need the right contextualizing and the right sort of platform to be seen by people from the art world. So that was the launching exhibition. And the idea of the exhibition was, the title was taken from an exhibition that took place in London in the 1950s called This Is Tomorrow. And at the time, I mean, we're sort of borrowing the title because some of the ideas overlap. At the time, the artists were really influenced by the effect of media within the art world. And the exhibition itself was a very collaborative, had a very collaborative approach where artists worked with art, where the artists worked with architects and designers. And we sort of really liked some of the overlaps between, you know, the way we're thinking and the way the exhibition was approached back then.
Really? I hadn't realized that that's where the name had come from. I really liked it, but didn't know the history behind it. But just changing tack slightly, I'm interested, you know, with both of you now actually being so heavily involved with NFTs, have either of you actually taken the plunge and bought NFTs for yourself?
I haven't, no.
I have, and I'm really into it. I am really into it. Yeah, I sort of started, I got my first one with an artist called Zankan, because we received, he was brought forward by Tyler Hobbs for the launching exhibition. And I started reading about him and how he creates these sort of natural worlds through the algorithm. And I got really drawn into his words and I thought they were so poetic. And I saw the work and I was like, okay, I might actually get this one. It was also within my price range. So we had an open edition and I got one of them. And I think it was just sort of, you know, the beginning of, oh, this is really easy. And then I'd been talking to our NFT collectors, why do you collect them? And I didn't really understand it. They were like, well, yes, you have it on your phone and you know you own it and that's all that matters. I said, well, do you print it? What do you do with it? And they said, no, it's just nice to know that you are collecting. Yeah, and I sort of didn't really understand it until I got my first NFT, and it just sort of led me to then buy a few more. And I can understand why people get, you know, attached to their collection. There's something quite satisfying about seeing the collection on, you know, in a small space, and you, I don't know, there's something very special about it not being physical. And yeah, I actually don't know how to explain it, but it's definitely something that I'm getting very heavily involved in, it seems. And I guess if you think about it, like, you know, the very, very first ways of people collecting, like the Wunderkammers, these sort of cabinets of curiosities, people would travel and get all these different artifacts and things they find and put them into this one place to be displayed. In a way, you know, to have the collection of artists who are ranging from practicing in Japan to London, is kind of not too different, because now a lot of my world is happening on the digital realm. And for me, it's a collection of, you know, being gravitating towards artists whose practice I find interesting. Like I read something about them and I like something about their practice triggers something in me. So then I want to sort of be part of that and feel like I'm collecting part of that artist's sort of, you know, work. So in a way, it's not too different, given that we're living in a very different kind of world.
That's actually so true. But David, I'm going to ask the question that I'm sure every listener now is wanting me to ask. But you've just launched an NFT and you haven't bought an NFT yet yourself. I'm interested. Why is that?
My rationale is that I was on holiday for 2 weeks in the Atlas Mountains. And, you know, probably the first thing from my mind was NFTs at the time. I don't buy art, oddly enough. I do trade art with other artists, and that's often how artists develop a collection. And so, you know, I'm not really someone in the market for any kind of art, oddly enough. I mean, very, very occasionally I bought something, but very rarely. So it's just not something I've yet had a look at.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, most artists really trade work, don't they? It's very unusual for artists to buy other artworks.
Well, I know some that do, and some that do very, you know, expansively. But I would say the majority of cases, you know, it's much more a personal thing. You know, one artist and another artist, you know, they respect each other's work, and they, you know, and you do a little trade, and then it becomes something very personal. It's unique to that moment and to that person. And then, you know, so you tend not to then sell them on, because they're like gifts, really.
Yeah, that's very true. I've got a few friends that I've purchased artworks from, and I can't actually imagine ever selling them. I think, well, actually, two of them have been on this podcast. So if anyone's interested in those, make sure to check out our artist spotlights. It's a shameless plug there. But yeah, I can definitely relate to that, in the sense that those artworks would never, you know, remotely be for sale, because they're so personal and I've got memories associated to the times that I, you know, bought them for my friends, etc.
Exactly. It's not something, it's not a trade. It's a trade in the personal sense. It's not about trading, you know.
Exactly. Well, look, David, Layla, I'm conscious I don't want to keep you for too long, because we've been chatting for a while now. But before we go, can I just ask, are there any more NFTs with David planned? Because I might just dip my toe in the water and see if I can get hold of one.
Yes, no, Leila and I, we had a conversation just earlier this week or last week about doing another NFT for Verse, again, which would be related to but different from the one I've just done.
Ah, perfect. Well, I will be sure to keep my eyes out for that. But look, guys, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with us today. I really do appreciate it. And I'm sure all of our listeners that have been asking for more information on NFTs will have done too. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much, James.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Well, that should just about conclude us for the latest episode of Temporary Admission. If you've enjoyed today's episode, make sure to hit like, subscribe, or follow on the relevant podcast platform that you're listening on today. And make sure to tune in next week, where we'll be doing another Artist Spotlight. Until then, stay safe. Speak soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.